Peace and blessings unto you, brothers and sisters. I am a brother from 12 tribes of Israel. Thank you for listening to today's class. For more audio classes, also information, visit our website, which is 12tribes.net or risers.com. You can also call us or contact us via our toll-free number, which is 888-447-1695. Today's topic is called Mary Chose the Right Thing. This is a topic that basically is going to cover two things. It's going to cover what commandment Christ gave unto men that were going to go out there and teach the gospel. The word gospel means good news. And also a lesson for our sisters out there that are in the faith and are believers and that know that they're Israelites. How they must also choose the right thing just like Mary did and understand their role in this nation. So we're going to start in the book of Matthew chapter 26. It makes sense to start at verse 1 because of the time period that we're in. A few weeks ago, we kept the Passover. So we're going to begin in Matthew 26, which is the chapter that goes into the end of the ministry of Christ, the end of his teaching, and what took place before he was crucified. So it says here in Matthew 26, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples," and the sayings that it's talking about is the sayings that you read above, the parables. The parable of the talents and the parable of the 10 virgins. So it said that he spoke all these words to his disciples. And what happened after that? He said, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover." Now, it's very important to start at verse 1 because we have to mimic the walk of Christ. And Christ is showing us that what he kept according to the way of the Most High, the celebrations and the holidays that he kept, were according to the scriptures and according to what the Heavenly Father commanded. So he said, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." And not only did he know about the feast day, but he knew also what was going to happen to him, how he was going to be betrayed by Judas, and he was going to be crucified, put to death for the nation of Israel. Verse 3 says, "Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted." So they held a council. Here it is that all the leaders of Israel are holding this council. Now in the churches they tell you he came to his own and his own receive him not. But what they don't understand is that the ones that rejected Christ were not the regular Israelites that believed in the Most High. The ones that were seeking salvation. No, it wasn't them that rejected Christ. It was the leaders of our nation who had envy towards Christ were the ones that put off the words that he taught, who basically gave him up to the Romans to be what? Crucified and put to death. Let's prove that real quick. Besides the scripture right here, because it says, "Then assembled together the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people," meaning these are the leaders of our nation, "unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted," held a council, "that they might take Jesus by subtlety." Subtlety means by trickery, by deceit. It says, "and kill him." To show you that these are the people that saw after his death. And Christ knew that. Because remember, a lot of our people talk about how the Jews rejected him, so now the truth went to all the other nations. But the fact of the matter is that Peter was a Jew, Christ was a Jew, Paul was a Jew, and all the other brothers that were being taught were Israelites, whether they knew about their heritage or not. So let's go from here to the book of Mark, chapter 8 and verse 31. You know, I hear that scripture all the time by so-called preachers and ministers of the Gentiles. And what I mean by Gentiles, I'm talking about natural Gentiles, the other nations. They like to bring themselves into the truth and put themselves into this book. When this book, the gospel, which we're going to read about, is one gospel. There's no two or three gospels. There's only one good news. And what is the good news? That the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be given mercy and salvation. That they will be set above all nations on the face of this earth. The same people that are looked at as niggers and spicks and they're being looked down upon and that are suffering poverty and tribulation, they will be able to rise up into power again, not through rebellion, not through, you know, military might, but through the spirit of the Most High. Through obedience to his commandments, we will become his sons and his daughters again. So here in the book of Mark, chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, And he began to teach them that he is referring to Jesus Christ. He began to teach who? His disciples. It says that the Son of Man must suffer many things. What things will he suffer? Like we read, he's going to be what? Crucified. But before he can be crucified, someone has to reject him. And the churches like to teach that all Israel rejected Christ, so the truth had to go to the Gentiles. That's not the truth. That's not what the Bible says. Let's see who rejected Christ. It says, and to be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. So what does that show us? The fulfillment of what Christ said here in Mark was fulfilled in the book of Matthew 26. Because in Matthew 26, who are the ones consulting? Who are the ones plotting to kill Christ? The chief priests, the leaders, the elders, and all the scribes, which were basically the ruling class that was above our nation. Now, let's go back to Matthew 26. Let's go back to Matthew 26, because that point, you know, came across easily, right? But the point of this class is to teach about how we must choose the right thing, how we must choose Christ, how we must choose the true gospel and receive our different roles. Men have different roles from women. That's the purpose of this class. So it says here in Matthew 26 and verse 5. But they said, the ones that said this is the scribes, the chief priests and the Pharisees and the elders. Not on the feast day. So they were saying not on the Passover. It says, lest there be an uproar among the people. Why would there be an uproar among the people if Christ was rejected by all the people? You see how the scriptures don't go well together when it's filled with philosophy? The reason there will be an uproar is because the people received his doctrine. Remember, there were multitudes following Christ. What multitudes were following Christ? The Israelites that he came to teach repentance to. Let's get that clear. That if they would have apprehended Christ, if it wasn't by no deceit, if they would have done it in front of the people would have spoken up against the Pharisees. Because the people viewed him as a prophet. The people view him as one of the old prophets that might have resurrected or reincarnated and is now teaching them. Matter of fact, let's go into Matthew 16. Because Christ asked that question, who do the people think I am? Matthew chapter 16. And let's go straight to the point, Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say the Son of Man am? So he said, who do they think I am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. Now the people view John as one of the prophets, one prophet that was sent by the Most High. They regarded him highly. It says, some Elias. Elias is the same as Elijah that is spoken of in the so-called Old Testament. So some of the people said, this is the great prophet Elijah coming back. Because they knew that what? That there was a prophecy that Elijah would come back to teach them in those days. But who was Elijah in that time period? John the Baptist. If you could receive that, according to Matthew 17 and verse 10 through 12. You can read that on your own. So it says here, and others, Jeremiah's. Who's Jeremiah? Jeremiah is the one that wrote the book of Jeremiah, who was also a great prophet. It says, or one of the prophets. So how did the people view Christ? They view him as one of the great prophets of old. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. What does the word Christ mean? Thou art the Messiah. Thou art the anointed one. Because the word Messiah or Christ, Messiah first of all comes from a Hebrew word, which means anointed one. Christ is a Greek translation of the word Messiah. So it says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now in the churches they teach us that Christ is God, or the Heavenly Father, or the Most High, but that's not the case. Christ is the Son of God. There's a big difference. The Most High is the head above Christ, whereas Christ is underneath the Most High in obedience to the Most High. He's a son of the Heavenly Father. So it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon. Because Simon is basically Peter. The verse above told us that. It says, Bar Jonah. Bar means son of Jonah. For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee. Meaning, Peter was not taught this, that Christ is the son of the Most High, or the Messiah, through someone telling him. No one had to tell Peter. Who revealed it to Peter? It says, but my Father which is in heaven. Show you that there was a difference between Christ and the Most High. Because Christ didn't get upset with Peter and say, no, Peter, you got it wrong. I am the Father. That's not what he said. Well, he said, no, you were told right. You are blessed to know that, to have that wisdom, to have that understanding that I am the Messiah. It says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter. It says, and upon this rock, meaning upon that understanding that Peter had, what is the understanding? That Christ is the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed of the Most High. Upon this rock, I will build my church. When he says, I will build my church, his church is one nation. And that nation is the nation of Israel. There's not three or four churches that Christ is building. It's one church. And that church is the 12 tribes of Israel, the nation of Israel, which we will prove very shortly. It says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What it means, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Meaning, there's nothing that can stop the truth of the Most High. No one could harm the truth of the Heavenly Father. No one could stop the prophecies from coming to pass. The Most High said that he will build this church. Guess what? It's going to happen. Let's prove that this church he's talking about is referring to the 12 tribes of Israel, or the nation of Israel. Let's go from here to the book of Acts, chapter 7. So we're going to the book of Acts, chapter 7, to show you who this church is. Acts, chapter 7, and let's get straight to the point, verse 37. This is that Moses was said to the children of Israel. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel. Moses was teaching the Israelites, the so-called blacks and Hispanics, and Native Americans. It says, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you. So hold on. This prophet is referring to who? This is a prophecy referring to Christ. It said that the Most High will raise this prophet, not to everyone, but unto them, unto you, of your brethren. So showing that Christ came from our nation. He also was what? An Israelite. From the tribe of Judah. He was not born through immaculate conception. In order for him to be born through immaculate conception, that will mean that the Most High will have to commit adultery. That means that the Most High will have to break all the prophecies that spoke about Christ coming through the seed of men. So it says that he will come from the midst of us, one of our brethren. It says, like unto me. How was Moses born? How was Moses a teacher? How was Moses a leader? What did Moses teach? He taught the laws of the Most High. Christ is going to teach the same things. Christ is going to lead us out of slavery, out of captivity, and bring us to the promised land, just like Moses was intended to do. It says, him shall ye hear, meaning him shall we obey. This is he, meaning the same prophet, that was in the church in the wilderness. Who was in the wilderness? Who was in the wilderness? The verse above told us, Moses and the Israelites. So the church that Christ is building, and has been building from a very long time, is the nation of Israel, who he made a covenant and agreement with. It says, and the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. The lively oracles is referring to the things that are contained in this Bible. The law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High is not to lead you to death, it's to lead you to life. He was there with Moses. He is that rock that will build this church. Let's go from here to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. So remember, Mary chose the right thing. What did Mary chose? Mary chose to acknowledge that Christ is the Messiah, the King of our nation, and that we must uphold him very highly. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's start from verse 2. And we're all baptized unto Moses. So baptism didn't start with John the Baptist. Baptism, when you read the scriptures, started with Moses. It says, in the cloud and in the sea. What sea? The Red Sea. What cloud? The cloud that followed them. Pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. It says, and they all eat the same spiritual meat. and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was who? Was Christ. To show you that Christ has been built in this church for a very long time. And a lot of times our people are looking for leaders, and guess what? Your leader is Christ. Take heed to the words that he spoke unto you. Obey and hear him in the matters concerning your salvation. That's what the scriptures teach us. So when we go back to Matthew 26, the Pharisees knew, if we grab them by force in the midst of the people, there's going to be an uproar. The people are going to go crazy. It's going to be a riot. People are going to come up against us. They might even stone us. And why did the people view Christ so highly? Let's go to St. John 11. I know I said let's go back to Matthew 26, but I can't help it. Let's go to St. John chapter 11. Because the scriptures are so beautiful. When you come to understand that you have been lied to by the religions that are set up in this world, which was purposely made that way, you have to understand that when you really start studying the scriptures, you see how great our King was and how he really taught us salvation. And he didn't give us no false hope, because what we're about to read gives us all hope even to this time period. I know when I read this, it always gives me that charge that I need during the day. Okay, and it reminds me, look, there's much more to life than what you eat, than what you drink. There's much more to life than the troubles you go through. There's so much more to what's coming ahead for us. In St. John chapter 11, and let's start real quick at verse 43. And we have thus spoken, the one that was speaking is Christ. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. If you read above, Lazarus was dead. And it's going to show us that as we read on. Lazarus was dead, and Christ is calling Lazarus out of the grave. Lazarus, come out. And he that was dead came forth, and Christ resurrected that man that was dead. That right there, oh man, that right there shows me that the promise is true of everlasting life. That these oracles, these words are lively. It'll bring good health onto your life in every aspect, whether it be your marriage, whether it be physical health that you're looking for, whether it be mental health. These things will make you sound in body and spirit. So it says, he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. So he coming out, he got all the clothes that he was buried in. When it says grave clothes, they have specific clothes that they put on them that basically bound the person. It says, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. That's why the Pharisees could not grab him by force. Because who believed on him? His own people, the Jews. When they saw how he could bring a man that was dead a long time back to life, they understood this is the Messiah. This is the anointed one of the Most High. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees. But then, of course, you have some wicked of our people that do not want to repent, that want to continue in their evil ways. And who they go to? The Pharisees, who envied Christ and told them what Jesus had done. It's like, oh, did you hear what Christ did? He brought Lazarus back to life. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. Instead of them being happy and saying, we need to hold a council, let's reevaluate and understand that this man might be the King of Israel. He might be the Messiah. Instead, they're saying to themselves, what are we going to do? Because if we don't do something, you know, this guy is doing too many miracles. We got to stop him. It says, we let him thus alone. In other words, if we leave him alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. What does that show us? That shows us that our leaders were set up by the other nations, just like they are today. A lot of your preachers, your pastors, even Israelite teachers, are not on the behalf of the Most High. They are set up by men. They were not chosen to be teaching out there. They were chosen by men to confuse and be false prophets among the people. So then it says, And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest, the same one we read in Matthew 26, that same year said unto them, ye know nothing at all. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people. Caiaphas, being the high priest, understood the prophecies that one man was going to die for the people. What people was he talking about? The nation of Israel. Christ came to die for you, Israel, to give you repentance. What is repentance? The chance to be sorrowful for the things that you have done and ask for forgiveness, so that the Most High will pardon you for everything you have done. Otherwise, if you don't repent and you continue in the same ways, the Most High will judge you according to the judgments written in the law. He said, you don't know nothing. You don't consider that it is good for a man to die for the whole nation, that the whole nation perish not, he said. I'm going to read it again from the top, verse 50. It says, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Notice a singular, nation, because they understood the prophecies pertaining to Christ, how Christ came for his people, his nation. Let's go from there to the book of Matthew again. But instead of going to 26, we're going to go to Matthew 15 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24 says this. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What is that teaching us? Who Christ was focusing on. Who was he sent to? He said, I'm not sent unto them, but I am sent to the lost sheep. Why he called them lost sheep? Because our people are lost without a shepherd. And their shepherd has come. Their shepherd is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And under Christ, he has set up leaders. He promised us to give us pastors that will feed us with knowledge and understanding. But the only way you're going to know if these men are of Christ is through their works. It's through their example. He said, you shall know them to be my disciples if they have love one to another. If the law of the Most High is sealed in their hearts, then you know that these men are my disciples. You might see brothers teaching that they're Israel and so on and so forth, and that's good and dandy, but guess what? You have many that knew they were Israel back then, just like the chief priests, just like the Pharisees. They were not looking to be servants to Christ. They were looking to serve the Romans. Going back to Matthew 26, we should understand that the focus of the nation of Israel, or the leaders or teachers of the nation of Israel, should be the same focus that Christ had. To guide back the lost sheep to the Most High, through his Son. And not be put in focus on the other nations, because that is not our job. That's not the job that Christ gave us. Now, if a person of another nation comes and try to ask you a question in the scriptures, let the children be first fed. Let them get crumbs. That's what the scriptures teach us when we read Matthew 15. Going back to Matthew 26, it said in verse 5, but they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, they came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head. And he sat at meat. For his disciples saw it. The disciples saw this oil being poured on his head all the way down to his feet. They had indignation. Indignation means that they were upset. They had some sort of hatred. It says, say, to what purpose is this waste? They were like, this is a waste. Why are you pouring this ointment on his head and wasting it? For this ointment, meaning this oil, might have been sold for much and given to the poor. So this oil was, like it said, precious ointment. It was very expensive. This oil is so expensive to this very day. I try to buy it all the time and I can't find it for a cheap price. And the oil that we're going to find out as we read it later on is called spikenard. Spikenard is that oil that was poured upon Christ's head. It has a very good smell. Now notice that they didn't mention her name. The woman that poured this oil on Christ. It says just a woman. If you are a woman, you could be like this woman right here. What did she choose? To honor Christ. Because look what Christ said. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? for she hath wrought a good work upon me. So showing you that our sisters could do what? A good work as well. This truth is not only for the men, but it's also for our sisters. But they have to be like this sister right here. She wasn't trying to be a disciple in the sense that she wasn't trying to go out like the disciples teaching in the streets. But she knew her role. She knew her place. She knew that the prophecies of the Most High also involved the women of Israel. You sisters have to wake up in these last days. You have to be mothers. You have to be sisters. You have to be mothers that teach their children how to keep the commandments of the Most High. You have to be sisters to your brothers and to other sisters. And instead of giving, you know, that spirit of lust out there, instead of giving that spirit of hatred, instead of gossiping and murmuring, you're supposed to be a good example, a help to your nation. So he said, why speak ye against this woman? She did a good work towards me. What is this woman? Who is this woman? And what work did she do that was so great by pouring oil on his head? Somebody might look at that and say, that's not important. They're right. He should have sold the oil and given it to the poor the money. But let's see why this was a good work. Let's go to the book of St. John chapter 12. Let's start at verse 1. St. John chapter 12 and verse 1. And it says here, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was. Okay, Bethany was the place where Lazarus was living, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Verse 2, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So Lazarus is eating normally like everybody else. He's at the table enjoying himself, enjoying this meal. Martha, his sister, was preparing this supper, basically serving Christ the food. Then took Mary a pound of ointment. Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard. Very costly. Remember it said in Matthew, it was a precious ointment, meaning it was very expensive. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped the feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Notice who's the one speaking. The same one that was going to betray him, who did not choose the right thing. What did he choose? What did Judas choose? He chose the riches of this world instead of choosing what? To believe in Christ and to believe in the promises that the Most High was extending to the nation of Israel. That's what he chose. But what did Mary choose? Mary chose to be obedient and to fulfill the prophecy of the Most High. What prophecy was she fulfilling? The prophecy that she was fulfilling was that Christ had to be anointed with oil. And not just any kind of oil, had to be that costly oil. How expensive was it? It said 300 pence. When you read that, you're thinking it's a small amount. No, back then 300 pence is a year's salary. A few years back, I did some study on it, and it was like about $30,000. So she spent very, very costly amount. Whereas Judas betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. This woman gave up 300 pence. 300. But this man accepted 30 pieces to betray the anointed one, the chosen one of the Most High. Showing you how sometimes our people will reject this truth for a very small amount. But what Mary is teaching us is what? How you must sometimes give up great riches, because the riches of this world, they could be corrupted, they could be stolen, they could be moth-eaten, and they cannot be compared to the riches that you're going to receive later on. We have to understand that. We have to come to that conclusion that the little rims that you're getting right now, the little Jordans that you have, the little apartment, the little job, is not making us move any further than what? Than anybody else. You're still the tail. You're still at the bottom. You're still in the ghettos. You're still in poverty. You're still cursed. So what you need is this good, lively word. that the Most High is telling you, this good gospel, this good news, that you will be blessed if you hear the commandments and if you do them. You will be set above all nations upon the face of this earth. Now, let's read the prophecy. Let's read the prophecy, because it says that Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard and poured it upon his feet. And Matthew said his head was also anointed with this oil. And she wiped the feet of Christ, and the odor of the smell of it filled the whole house. The smell of it filled the whole house. Let's read this. Songs of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, was Christ sitting at a table being served the supper? Yes. Okay. What the people didn't know that were visiting Lazarus, that was there eating with Christ, just such as Judas, is that this man is the king. This is the man that the Most High has been promising us all along. The one that will bring safety to our nation, salvation to our nation. The one that has the reward with him. It says, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. So what did she do? She fulfilled prophecy. She played her role. Because when you read this chapter is written in a feminine tense. And it's referring to how we're going to see Christ. Because he's going to be better to us than that wine. Because I know a lot of our brothers, they drink, you know, their sorrows away. But Christ is better than that wine, man. Because once you get off that wine or that hard liquor or that beer, at the end of the day, you're still going to have the issues and the problems that you started with. Whereas with Christ, he will teach you and give you instruction how to get yourself right. He will give you stability and wisdom for your times. Now let's see. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. So Christ is like that myrrh, that beautiful smell, that precious oil. It says, he shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. To show you that it was written in a feminine tense. This woman, Mary, she read that. She said, wow, this got to be fulfilled before he died. The Most High revealed that to her. Through what? Through the teachings that she heard of Christ. Because when we go to the book of Luke, chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, let's go to it real quickly. It says here, in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received them into her house. The same Martha that we read where? In the book of John. Alright? Mary and Martha and Lazarus were all siblings. They were all brothers and sisters, blood brothers and blood sisters, right? It says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Notice it says she sat at his feet. That's how the women of Israel are supposed to be. You have to submit to the order that the Most High gave unto you. The Most High gave you an order. What is the order that the Most High gave? That he is the head. Underneath him is Christ. Underneath Christ, the head of the woman is the man. So there's an order in our nation. You can't be going around saying, I'm the teacher, I'm the prophetess, and standing before a pulpit trying to preach unto the brothers and sisters and the congregation of Israel, because that's not your role. Your role is to sit at the feet of Christ and be a help unto our nation like Mary. Play your role. Do not, you know, go beyond the boundaries that the Most High gave you. Read on, it says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. Because a lot of times women, right, they forget that this truth does teach you to what? To be submissive and cook and clean and everything like that. The scriptures teach you that. But women in the world do that also. And they also, while they do that, curse their man out. Oh, that nigga's no good. Here's a plate of food, right? That's not how a woman's supposed to be. Now, I'm not saying that's what Martha did, but what I'm saying is that you have to be more than what? Than a cook, more than a sexual partner, more than cleaning, you know, cleaning the house, right? More than just popping babies. You have to be submissive to these scriptures. You have to be righteous just like the men have must be righteous. Just like the men must submit to Christ and be obedient, you also have to be obedient in all things. So Martha, she forgot that. And she's worried about, you know, the serving of the food. She got this, you know, she holding this get together. And Christ is there. He's teaching the people. And Martha's upset. And she said, and came to Christ and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Now, notice that Martha, her instinct, her nature was to ask Christ to give orders to Mary to go and help. So she understood that much. She understood that much that a woman is not supposed to go out of her order and say, come over here. No, because Christ might want her to stay there and listen to what he has to say. So it says here, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. You know, so you know, a lot of times when we spoke to women, he said, woman. But in this case, he said, Martha, Martha. He said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. So it showed you he cared about her. Because it tells you that in another part of the scriptures, in John 11. It tells you that he loved Lazarus. He loved Mary. He loved Martha because they were righteous. But he noticed something wrong with Martha. He said, Martha, you're too careful and troubled about many things. Meaning, you're worrying about the wrong things right now, Martha. You're worrying about the wrong things. Why? Because those people are going to get fed eventually. But what they have to be fed with, really, is the knowledge of the truth. A lot of times our people think that filling up their bellies is what is important. Right? So they go to these churches, they hand out soup, they hand out bread. But what they need to be fed with, so that their poverty could really be extinct, is this word, this truth. And Moses says that the preachers are supposed to feed you, but with knowledge. They're not supposed to be serving tables. That's not their job. In Acts chapter 6, the disciples said, the 12 disciples that became apostles said, we're not going to stop preaching the word to serve tables. That's not our job. It chose men that were able to do that job. So here it is, it says, let's read on. He said, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. What was that one thing? For her to acknowledge that Christ is the Messiah. For her to choose the right thing. Instead of being worried about carnally minded things, her mind was supposed to be on spiritual things. Because the spiritual things will give you peace and life in this world and in the next. But the carnal mind, you know what it brings? Death. It brings bitterness. It brings trouble. It brings nothing but what? But sorrow. So the scripture says, but one thing is needful, and Mary have chosen that good part. See, she chose the real good thing. It says, which shall not be taken away from her. Look, remember Judas trying to speak up against Mary, saying, why did she do that? She spent this oil that could have been sold and given to the poor. He was pretending to care about the poor. He didn't give a damn about the poor. Because if he did, he would not have betrayed Christ, who was teaching the poor the way of salvation, the good news of salvation. Because let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 4, and verse 16. Christ is going around healing people of their diseases, and this man talking about, you know, selling something to give to the poor. Christ is going around feeding thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And this guy talking about, well, we could have sold that for the poor. No, he wasn't worried about the poor. He was worried about his pockets. That's what he was worried about. And his wicked mind, he was like, so you know what? I'm going to betray him. And let me get myself 30 pieces of silver. That's the wicked mindset that a lot of our people have. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This anointing that Mary did, it wasn't to anoint him to make him king. Because only a prophet like Samuel could anoint a person to become a king. Only the anointing of the Most High could make Christ king. But what this ointment did was reveal to the rest of the people that did not know that Christ is the king. When they smelled that spiked oil that was sitting at the table, they should have realized, you know what? This is the king. This is the king. Look, the prophecy was fulfilled. Didn't he resurrect Lazarus? So he is the one. He is the chosen one of the Most High. That should have been the mindset. But what anointed Christ to become the king of our nation It was not carnal ointment. It was the Spirit of the Lord that was upon him. Because he have anointed me. You hear that? The Most High himself anointed Christ to preach the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Christ was anointed to preach the good news to who? To the poor. See, so Christ knew what the poor needed. They needed that good news. Those words that are as good as medicine, the scripture says. It says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Our people have broken minds? Yes. Do they have sorrow in their minds? Yes. Do they have afflictions in their minds? Yes. Our people are the ones that fill up these social programs that are filled with what? With people that got mental issues. Whether it be depression. Whether it be, they say they're bipolar. Or they got schizophrenia or whatever. They got those problems. Our people are the ones that are filling up those social programs that are trying to fix their marriages. The people that are messed up with AIDS and all types of stuff, all types of problems that could be healed if they took heed to the word of the Most High. It says, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Because we are captives, we are still slaves. And we need to hear that deliverance, that preaching of deliverance to make us free. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And recovering of sight to the blind. Whether it be physically blind or spiritually blind, because our people are also blind. How we know our people are blind? Christ said in Matthew 15, there be blind leaders that lead the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall into what? A ditch. So when our people follow religion, following these wicked Israelite teachers that do not want to keep the commandments, that do not want to apply the judgments of the Heavenly Father, you're following a blind leader. And that makes you blind. Whereas our leader and our head has already been chosen. Doesn't the scripture say in the Psalm, in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? The Most High already set up a leader for you that has not forsaken you. He said he gave you a comforter. And that comforter is himself that will dwell and abide in you if you keep his commandments. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's in John 14, verses 15 to 21. Read those scriptures. Comfort yourselves with those words. And remember that Christ has never forsaken our nation. And how we know that to be true? Didn't we suffer captivity because of our disobedience? So the Most High basically brought this punishment to remind us that the only way to being blessed is through him. And to show us the difference. Which one is better, to serve the nations or to serve him for the want of all things? So when we go back to Luke 4, it says here in Luke 4 and verse 18, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year is like, for example, the year of Jubilee, when you're reading that in the law. How everything was recovered unto the people of Israel. We're going to have an acceptable year. Christ is going to come back and give us that Jubilee, that rejoicing that comes through liberty. Because you're not free. You might be singing, you know, the anthem of this wicked nation, of this Babylon, the great whore. But if you don't realize that this is still captivity, you will suffer plagues with her. So going back to the book of Matthew. Going back to the book of Matthew. We'll come back to John 12. But let's go back to Matthew first. Because Matthew 26 says this. It says, why trouble ye the woman? This is verse 10. For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. That's the point. He was showing them what? That he was not going to be there physically in flesh and blood with them all that time. That they should acknowledge that he's the Messiah and that he is the good part, the good thing to choose, to not be rejected. So he said, for this and that she have poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. So he's letting them know, look, I'm about to die. I'm going to be crucified. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, wheresoever the good news What is the good news? Well, we read in Luke chapter 4. The preaching of deliverance to the slaves. Not everyone was a slave. Deuteronomy 28 didn't happen to everyone. So the gospel cannot be for them. The gospel is for you. You are the descendants of slaves. You are the one that suffered the harshness that is mentioned in Deuteronomy 28 from 15 all the way to 68. You are the ones that are cursed in the city, were cursed in the field by picking cotton. You're the one that were brought here in slave ships, like verse 68 says. You're the one that were yokes upon your necks of iron, like verse 48 says. You're the one that was separated from your children and are still being separated to this very day. So the scripture says what? Look, wherever this truth is preached, wherever this gospel is preached, in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. So did she choose the right thing? Yes. Remember, he told Martha. He said, Martha, Martha, remember, Mary has chosen the right thing that cannot be taken away from her. Every time we go out there and teach in the streets, whether we teach over the internet, whether it be in audio lessons, video lessons, we make mention of this great act that this woman did. And if you sisters put yourself at the feet of Christ and submit to the words that he taught you, no one will be able to take away from you the kingdom of the Most High. No one will be able to take away from you that glory that's going to come upon you. No one is going to be able to call you a nappy-headed hoe anymore. No one is going to say that you are a nigger and that you cursed. They're going to speak of your beauty. Because you are the beautiful women of this earth. You're not going to be believing that whiteness of skin and that hair that is leprous, that blonde hair, that cursed hair, is what is beautiful. No, you're going to learn that your blackness of skin, that nice woolly hair you have, that figure on your body, is a blessing from the Most High that every nation wants to have. That's why they get the surgery to be like you. They put the fake butt implants. They put the fake breast implants. They do their lips to be big like yours. And guess what? They wear braids on their hair because they know that braiding your hair makes you beautiful. So you sisters, if you submit to the order that the Most High has applied to our nation, you will be blessed and will be remembered before the Most High in Christ. So now, go back to St. John 12. Let's see what Christ said to Judas. Because Judas was the one that... Because there's always one evil brother that comes in the midst trying to set confusion with the rest of the brothers. Because it was Judas who betrayed Christ. And he wanted for the other disciples to agree with him about this ointment being spent up the wrong way. But Christ rebuked them and corrected him and said, no. What she did was according to the prophecy. What she did was right. What she did cannot be taken away from her. You know what? From now on, whenever you preach this good news, make mention of this woman. This is something that is good and beautiful because when you look at the sisters that are single parents out there who didn't know how to be a wife, now the Most High is going to show you, if you submit to his will, how to be like that woman Mary. Not just a woman that pops babies, not a woman that just cooks, not a woman that just cleans, but a woman that does those things and is also called a virtuous woman. That's above precious rubies. So when we go back to the book of John, St. John chapter 12, and we read on, he said in verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, we should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? So somebody comes that way, you got to examine first. Like, for example, you look at these rappers giving to charity and everything like that, and you said, yo, those guys are doing a good work, man. He got a charity foundation. It's not that they care for the poor. Come on, people. Charity, according to the Most High, is not what you give up. How much money you spend on something for someone. No. Charity is the correction that comes from the law of the Most High. You speaking to me about killing me and about selling drugs to me, but then you want to say you're going to give back to the community? Yeah, what you gave back is confusion. So that's not how you care for the poor. The way you care for the poor is the way Christ cared for the poor. It says here in the next verse. This he said, this is verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. See that? And had the bag. You know what I mean? He had the bag. We're not talking about a man bag, a man purse like some of the homosexuals are doing today. No, we're talking about a bag where the money and the stuff that was being donated was carried. And what was put therein. It was put inside the bag. Then said Jesus, let her alone. In other words, leave her alone. Against the day of my burying, have she kept it. So Mary was basically saving all that time. And preparing herself to fulfill the prophecy. At the appointed time, against the day of his death. For the poor always ye have with you. But me, ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. That he was where? At the house of Lazarus. So once they smell that spikenard that goes throughout the house. Because you can put oil on you, but the oil will not, sometimes it doesn't reach. The odor does not reach all throughout the house. It does not send forth that sweet smell throughout the whole house. And it was so expensive. Remember, the Jews back then were in slavery. They were captives. They were poor. So it was difficult for someone to just buy spikenard and pretend to be the king. You understand? The way it was done in orderly fashion according to prophecy. Here it is that Christ showed the promise being fulfilled, how he could raise and resurrect a person from the dead, that he has the power over life and death. And now, he's also going to show through prophecy, fulfilling the word, how he is the king. He is the Messiah. So a lot of people came and saw Lazarus and saw also this ointment being poured by Mary upon Christ. It says, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. So brothers and sisters, I hope this class was very edifying to you. We wanted to remind you about the sister's good work. We want to remind you, sisters out there that are seeking to help your nation, that remember, the order of the Most High is this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And also what we would like for you to know and understand, that according to the law of the Most High, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The saints are Israelites. When you read Psalms 50 verse 5. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Just like Mary, she wasn't running her mouth. Mary was basically at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of our King Christ. You also have to be in that same fashion. You have to keep silence in the churches. You can't be on the pulpit. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So with that, brothers and sisters, I hope that if you are spiritual and if you are seeking salvation, that you will apply the things that you heard today. And again, you can visit our website, which is 12tribes.net or risers.com. And with that, we give all praise and honor to the Most High. And say shalom unto your brothers and sisters. Thank you for listening, and blessings be upon you. Shalom.